But if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses that we probably could quote, but we'll go ahead and read them anyways, and we'll talk about what they have to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read the last two verses. Here Paul is writing, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's ask God's blessing on our time in his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be gathered here today. We thank you for the delicious meal that we've partaken of. And Lord, we thank you for the spiritual food that we have as well in your word. We pray that you will speak to our hearts and challenge us and encourage us to live more for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title is, Who Owns You? Who Owns You? I mentioned it before that growing up, some people would have t-shirts that would say property of and Nike Athletic Department or Reebok or whatever brand they wanted to display. And of course, teenagers, they want to dress in a particular brand name. They're walking billboards for a brand, but they don't get paid for advertising. I think they got ripped off. But it said property of such and such a company, though it doesn't mean anything and it's not true. What about us as Christians? Who owns us? Well, we know what the Bible says, and we would give the right answer. In chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." So we realize that we are his. Now, as much as we understand that, I want us to think more particularly about how much does he own of us? How much are we willing to give him? We look pretty soon as we dismiss, we're going to go to our vehicles. Whose car is it that you drive? You'd say, it's mine. I went to the dealership. I paid the money. It's my car. I own it. My name's on the title. Well, the Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What about those farmers? They would say, no, that cow is mine. Well, God begs to differ, doesn't he? So what about our vehicle? Whose is it? As you get out of your car and you walk into the house, whose house is it that you reside in? It's my house. I'm paying the mortgage. My name's on the title. Or is it God's house? How much do we give the Lord? How much do we realize that the things that he gives us are really his? And he wants us to use them for our needs, but also for his glory. What about our plans? Do we give God the day? When we wake up, we make plans, we have ideas for the day. Are you set about doing your plans? Or are you asking God for his plans? Whose time is it that you're spending day by day? And what about, of course, our money? Is it God's money or is it my money to do with what I want to do with it? That isn't to say that we are supposed to give all of our money to the church. That's not at all. It takes money to live, to pay our bills. But we need to give the Lord, we need to use our money the way that God wants us to use our money. Because it is his after all. What about our future? Our future plans, our long-term ambitions. Are they our ambitions? Or are we open to God's plans for us? And what about our health? Do we trust God that his plans are best even when health doesn't go the way we want? Do we give that to him and let him take care of that in our time? But really, the truth is God owns all of us. Whether we admit it and acknowledge it and give it back to him, he still owns it. And so we need to work in our own lives to give God more and more of us. The story is told, I am not sure if it actually happened quite this way or if it was just a cute story. But either way, it definitely applies. They were taking an offering one day at church. There's a little boy, of course, you know, he's not a child of great means, and the offering plate was passed, and he told the usher to lower it till he put it on the ground, and then the child stepped in the offering plate. He was giving himself to the Lord. What about us? Do we give God ourselves? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. If we are not willing to give God all, if we fail to surrender ourselves to the Lord, can we really call him our Lord? Lord means he's the master. He gets to decide what we do. We are the servant. He is the master. He tells us what we are to do. As Jesus was giving the parable of the wise man and the foolish man, he begins it by saying, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And so we need to realize that God owns us. He is the Lord. And we need to acknowledge him and what he wants us to do. We are doubly his. We know that we are his by creation. The things that we create, they're ours. We can do what we want with them. My siblings tell me that when they broke my Lego creations, I used to charge them money. I don't remember that. They say I was mean. I don't remember that either. I guess I have selective hearing. I have selective memory. But nonetheless, God created us. We are his because he made us. And then we're doubly his because, as it says, we are bought with a price. God gave his only son to purchase us. But then so often we want to do what we want to do, and we want to cut him out of the picture so we can do our will. But if we start to realize that God owns me, it changes our perspective. Life's worries, I think, begin to dissolve when we realize that God owns us. Just to give an example, let's just use a vehicle. When your vehicle has problems, if it's your vehicle, and that's how you view it, then it's your problem to deal with. But when we realize it's God's vehicle, and he causes the problems that may arise, then it's us going to God saying, "God, how are we going to fix this?" Because when God owns it, he maintains it. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Another familiar and very encouraging passage in God's Word. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Then he talks about the fowls of the air. He talks about the lilies of the field. Then he says, verse 30, "If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, those physical necessities, shall be added unto you." What is God's responsibility to take care of. If we are about the master's business, then he makes it his business to make sure that we are taken care of. And so life's worries will dissolve if we acknowledge that God owns everything and he owns me as well. I think a second effect that it will have in our lives is that we will become responsible. We'll be responsible. We realize that God gives us what we have. It's of limited supply, and we need to take care of it well. We need to take care of our body. That means not eating as much sugar. I don't like that, but I'm working on it. It's a continual struggle, and anyone that's on a diet of any type, you know that's difficult. But in order to serve God, I have to take care of my body. If I'm in a hospital, there's a lot of things I just couldn't do. And so I've got to take care of my body that he has given me, because he gives it to us as stewards. Same thing with our time. We have a limited amount of time to serve God with. When that's over, it's over. You don't get any more. And then, of course, our money, our talents. We're a steward of all the things that God has given to us. Do we acknowledge that they're His and we are managing them for Him? The same is true with our children. God gives them to us for a period of time, about 20 years, and He expects us to raise them for His glory, that they may choose to serve the Lord with their life. And then I think also our desire will be to please the One who owns us. We realize that we're bought with a price. When you actually stop and think about that, God loves us so much that He gave His Son. And if He was willing to do all that for me, what am I willing to do for Him who owns me, who bought me? Then I think that we can say, we have the song entitled, I Am His and He Is Mine, which I believe has come from the book of Song of Solomon, which says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. So as we go throughout this week, this month, the rest of this year, who owns you? Is it for you to do what you want? Or are we going to let God be the Lord and realize that we need to do what He wants us to do because He owns us? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for just telling us the simple truth. Lord, we don't always realize the price You paid for us, but may we be thankful for it, and may we give You Your rightful place as the God of the universe, as our Creator, and as our Redeemer. May we honor and glorify You as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.